This is the Audacity to Lead podcast, episode 8.
Looking to make the leap from potential to productive performance? Thinking of starting up with business, career, ministry, or your life tax? Join Dayo Samuel on the Audacity to Lead podcast as he shares tips, steps, and strategies to help you chart a compelling course for your life.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of the Audacity to Lead podcast. This is the podcast dedicated to helping you become more focused with your life, more passionate with your life task, and more impactful with your influence. I'm still with my friend, Tara Ene.
Hi, guys.
On this episode, we'll discuss embracing your uniqueness, that is, what's unique about you. While Tara will be focusing more on helping you define the brand called you, I will focus on helping you enhance the brand called you. Tara, what do you have for us?
I would like to start off with this great inspiration from the movie Akila and the Bee. Okay, it says, our deepest fear is not that we are inadequate. Our deepest fear is that we are powerful beyond measure. We ask ourselves, who am I to be brilliant, gorgeous, talented, and fabulous? Actually, who are you not to be? We were born to make manifest the glory of God that is within us. And as we let our own light shine, we unconsciously give others permission to do the same.
If you remember, last week we discussed the issue of giving yourself permission and even giving other people permission. You remember, right?
Yes.
So, let's continue with today's topic. Defining the brand called you, that is what's unique about you.
Okay. Before you can know the value of something or someone, definition has to come into play.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay. With this knowledge, we get to ask these questions. Who are you? What makes you unique? Why are you you?
Okay? That's interesting. That's interesting because sometimes young guys don't always understand who they are.
Yes.
And they don't ask the right questions, so they don't get to answer the right. They don't get to provide the right answers.
That's very true.
In fact, sometimes the issue of identity crisis is something that is common with young persons.
That's true.
And so today we are going to help you define your uniqueness, help you identify it, and help you see how you can enhance it. You are welcome once again to another episode of the Audacity to Lead podcast. This episode is so packed full of stuff for you, and I'm definitely going to enjoy it.
Yeah.
Tara, can you share more with us on defining the brand called you?
Okay, yeah. I discovered of recent the TWAR formula, rather.
What's TWAR?
T-W-A-R.
Wow.
The TWAR formula. This formula is in every person's makeup. It's what makes you really you. T stands for thoughts, W stands for words, A stands for actions, and then R raised to power 2 equals reactions. That is how you react to things, situations, and people, and how others react or relate to you, the message you pass across, and all others. So this formula is T plus W plus A plus R raised to power 2 equals Y-O-U, that is you.
If I'm going to get that formula very well, you mean T plus W plus A plus R square?
Yes.
So why is the R raised to power 2? Why is it double R?
Okay, the reactions now is two-faced because it determines how you react to people, how you react to things, situations thereabout, and the like rather, and then how people relate with you. That's why the R is raised to power 2.
Okay, that's reactions
and relations. Yes.
Okay. I think now I get it.
Okay, so U stands for your obvious, uniqueness.
The words Y, the letters YOU.
Yes.
Stands for your...
your obvious uniqueness.
Wow. Okay.
Thank you very much. Okay. It's so easy to be who you are because you have all the facilities. That is, you have all it takes. Mm-hmm. What I mean is you are uniquely designed. I read a post on Facebook that said, it's better to be the first class version of yourself than to be the second class version of someone else.
Yeah. Actually, that resonates so much with me because there was a time I was trying to be like the pastor of our church.
Yeah.
I wanted to try and preach like he preaches. And then I discovered one day I tried so much to preach like him until I discovered when I got back to my seat, I was only hammering on the first point that was in my notes that I prepared. And I couldn't move further than the first point simply because I was trying to be like him. Yeah. That was when I discovered that imitation is good, but that's not the highest of your potential.
That's true.
That's not the highest of your potential. Anytime you imitate people. Now, you were talking about...
Your obvious uniqueness. Okay. Oftentimes when the issue of uniqueness is raised, I relate it to my elder sister and I. Growing up, we were so different. She was so extroverted. She was so outspoken. She was like everyone's favorite. And then I was the reserved one. I was the one who built my inner mansion, as in I built a mansion for myself. I didn't let anybody intrude in my privacy and all that. So people found it very hard to relate with me. People found it very, very hard to relate with me. So this now puts a barrier in how it put a barrier in how people saw me.
How you were perceived.
Exactly, how I was perceived, and then how my sister, you know, it just made us, it made me want to be like her. Most of the times, I figured out I would try to walk like her, talk like her, and just maybe try to be accepted a little something. But then it didn't work out well. I'm the lady who does the mind and mouth activity, as in one who is always surrounded by books. Let me put it that way. I love to engage in strategic planning of projects, you know, the head stuff like that. The time I ventured into food marketing, I gave out both the food and the gain. Then I started looking...
So what kind of business is that?
Then I started looking for a capital. It was then I realized I'm not the handwork kind of person, but the book kind of person, the whole brain kind of person. This discovery made my life easy because I began knowing myself, and it was all, and it's also made me the black sheep in my family. I mean, do you know how hard it will be for a child with the engineer's heart to be born into a family of farmers or fishers? That's how I felt. But I embraced me and I got to know me, and a great man known as Les Brown inspired me to do so. He was always hitting on, I was never really the accepted one, but at least now, you know, better, I've gotten to know me, this is what I love, and this is how I can be me. So I started embracing my personal uniqueness.
When you embrace your uniqueness, you discover how the word inspire truly makes sense, and that enables you to inspire others. Because definitely, from your story, what I saw was, at that point, you were trying to accept yourself because you were not being accepted by others.
Yes.
Especially those in your family.
Yeah.
And there's a question I asked one time like that. I said, why is it hard for people to create something that is truly their own and unlike anything else that already exists? Now, when I tried to answer that question, I discovered it is easier to copy what someone else has done or what someone else is doing.
Yeah.
That's because the equation is shortened,
yeah.
The time is reduced,
yes.
And the stress is balanced.
Yeah.
In fact, I regularly tell young leaders, there is something that has been created already. All you've got to do is go there and add your own uniqueness to it. And that's how you have something truly unique. That is, you leverage your uniqueness and create something different. So let's continue.
Okay, back to the 12 formula. TWAR raised to power 2. Okay, the word thought is of the Greek epinoa, meaning way of design. Epi means intensive, very thorough or concentrated, anything to achieve maximum results within a limited area of time.
That is the word thought.
Yes.
It's a combination of two Greek words, epi and noia.
Yes.
And then epi means intensive.
Yes. Why noia means consider.
Interesting. So that means thought actually means to consider deeply.
Yes. Okay. So I underline the word limited here. The word limited introduced in this definition means there are certain procedures to follow. Example, if you want a lady to be your wife, there are certain features you create in your mind that tells you your eyes when you have actually seen her. Underline the word seen there.
Interesting. Okay.
Okay. This scene here is a procedure engaged by the thought, which explains the limits. What do I mean? The boundary your thoughts has is how far your inner eyes can conceive. Okay. I think I'll bring it to a story in the Bible where there were 12 spies sent into a certain city to survey the land, whether it was ripe enough and fruitful and all. So about 10 of them, they perceived themselves as small, as grasshoppers. They perceived themselves as nothing. Because of the way they perceived themselves, that was the way the giants whom they were afraid of saw them.
Yes. I think I remember the story.
Yes. So they saw the giants and they were like grasshoppers in their sight, because these spies saw themselves as grasshoppers before the giants. The giants also saw them as grasshoppers. Do you know the seeing expressed here is an inner picture, because they had to see.
Yeah.
Exactly. It's not as if they saw it by the normal eyes we have on our face. Mm-hmm. They saw it on the inside.
Yeah.
Exactly. So that's how our thoughts can be powerful in defining ourselves. Okay. So what we become is greatly linked to what we see on the inside. A great man once said, the future you can't picture will be hard to feature in. So what are you saying?
What are you saying?
Really? Exactly.
Yeah, that's true.
So what are you seeing, rather? What are you seeing? That's the question I would like to ask anybody listening. What are you seeing? So over to word, that's W. Logos is the Greek translation for word. It means the expression of thought. This is simply saying what you say tells what you think. Many times people try to change their words because it is negative and they've been asked to do so. But that's not sufficient, actually. That's not sufficient. That's just like pruning the leaves of a tree. If you don't like a tree, you take it out from its root, not cut the branches. It will still grow. So if you say the wrong words, it's best you change your thoughts. These things are powerful in creating and defining who we are, everyone is.
Okay, now let's talk about the actions.
Yes, action. Action means the process of doing something, and it is conceived from the word act, meaning to have an effect. Your actions are shaped by your thoughts and words. If you have the inner picture of a wealthy man adorned with respect, you will not disrespect anyone, so that you will gain the respect you desire. Because of who you are on the inside, you consciously activate the right attitude. It is important to know this. To act means to have an effect. Your actions are to stir up positive change as you attract people. So if you're not attracting people, then there's something wrong in your actions. And if your actions are wrong, then there's something wrong in your words. And if your words are wrong, then there's something wrong in your thoughts. Exactly, something wrong with your thoughts.
Let's look at it from the side of reaction now. What's that's the R, right?
Yes, R.
Okay.
Reaction means something done or experienced as a result of an event. In our formula, R is raised to power 2.
Now, if you go back to the previous point, that is the action.
Yes.
That is, you act and then there's a reaction.
Yes.
That is that, we could say that is cause and this is effect.
Effect, exactly, okay. Exactly. So now it's race to power too, because it is two-faced. Like I earlier said, it's how you react to things and then how people relate with you.
Okay.
Yes, how you react to things, people, situations and the like, and how people now relate with you and the message you pass across, your attitude, everything about you. It's all important in defining who you are. Okay, so the thoughts, words and actions produced from a person can determine how such a person reacts to things, situations and people. What do I mean? Your thoughts now, your words and your actions can determine how you will react to certain things. If thoughts, if you're not fearful, that's on your inside, if you're not fearful, there's no way you will act as a fearful person. Even when you are challenged with situations, you will not be afraid, you will not be scared, you will not be moved, you'll be strengthened. You just, you know, because that's the inner picture you have. It's just like a story in the Bible where David, you know, he was faced with Goliath. And actually, he wasn't really faced with Goliath, but he just went to do something. And then he saw how Goliath was just dead, threatening the whole city. And then he came in because he had the audacity to actually face Goliath because of the inner picture he had.
Yeah.
Exactly. So that's how it is. So the way he reacted to that particular situation was because of the thoughts, words, and actions that he had developed over time.
Wow.
That's okay. Then now the other R, that's the relation now.
Yeah.
So people will now relate with you according to how your thoughts, words, and actions are aligned. If you are a negative thinker, I can bet you that you're going to attract negative thinkers, and then people will relate with you negatively. But if you're a positive thinker, you will attract positive thinkers, and then people will relate with you positively. So that's how it is. Back to the spy story. The spies who saw themselves as grasshoppers before the giant obviously shivered when they saw the giant. I mean, try to picture the scenario. Two spies making inquiries from people of the same height as people of the same height as them. They get this information and they're so excited. The land is fruitful, the land is blessed, and then they're engrossed in their conversation. As they walk, one bumps into a giant. The giant then turns to face them and they start quivering in fear. They try to apologize, but they're stammering. How do you think the giant will relate with them? Of course, the giant will try to take advantage of them.
Yeah.
Because they showed fear.
Yeah.
That's the thing. And this fear will not just bump out. It won't just burst out from nowhere. It's what's on their inside.
Yeah.
Exactly. So of course the giants would try to take advantage of them, but if they had an inner image of self-worth, confidence, audacity, when they bumped into the giants, they'll simply say, "Oh, sorry, sir, I wasn't watching. Have a nice day," or they'll extend a hand to shake the giants and exchange pleasantries like, "Hi, I'm Joshua and this is my friend Caleb. How are you doing today, sir?" So that's on the tour formula. So like I earlier said, your thoughts, your words, your actions, and the reactions is all that defines the brand called you.
Like I said at the beginning of this session,
yes,
I mentioned something about uniqueness, about embracing your uniqueness.
Yes, you did.
And I said something like, the reason why people don't create something truly their own and truly unique is because it's easier to copy people. How do you discover your uniqueness? Therefore, after looking at the TWAR that you have showed and the YOU, that is your obvious uniqueness.
Yes.
After you have identified that, what do you do to enhance the things you have discovered? What you've shared with us is to discover the brand.
Yes.
To actually identify the brand, the thoughts, words, actions, reactions, and relations,
yeah,
and then your unique, your obvious uniqueness.
Yes.
By the time you discover those elements,
yeah,
the next thing to do is to learn how to enhance that brand called you. So from everything you have said, Tara,
yes,
what you discover is that you are a brand.
Yeah.
That is, you are a brand. That is why you, your obvious uniqueness is a brand.
Yes.
Because once you learn to mine the TWAR that you have taught us, so you have to accept the fact that you are a brand.
Yeah.
That's number one. And then, like you said, when you talked about relations, that's actually that's kind of related to character.
Yes.
Then that means you have to have a consistent character. Mm. And then the next thing I also like to mention briefly is that when we talk about you being unique, it's like fire.
Yes.
It's like fire, for example, has certain things that we can take note of. Number one is that fire stands alone.
Wow.
Now, that doesn't mean you shouldn't work with others.
Okay.
But it just means that fire can actually be fire without trying to be someone else. That is, fire has a constant identity. It doesn't try to change.
That's...
Now, another thing about fire is that fire compels others to become like itself. That is, if you develop yourself as a brand enough, you compel others to be like you. In fact, if you look at what we started with, we said the reason why people copy others is because it's easier to copy others, right?
Yeah.
But if you look at it, it's because that person has actually built a brand that you feel like you should copy.
Yes.
But then that's the unique thing about fire. Fire will instead compel others to become like itself. Now, another thing about fire is that fire sets pace.
Okay.
That is, fire doesn't follow everybody.
Okay.
And then lastly, fire attracts attention. If you develop yourself, as in if you identify your uniqueness and you embrace it, you will definitely create attention.
Yeah.
Because that's like the benefit of accepting your uniqueness.
That's true.
To end this episode of the Audacity to Lead podcast, I have a free test I would like you to take. The test will help you to discover something about your uniqueness, and you will find that at audacitytolead.com/08. That is, if you go to audacitytolead.com/08, you'll find it in the show notes. You find the link to the test at the show notes, and you can take the test. You discover something about yourself. There's 1 minute free coaching available for you when you do that. We need to hear from you. What have you discovered about yourself that is truly unique? And what processes did you go through to discover it? You can leave us a reply in the comment section at audacitytolead.com/08. Next week, we'll be discussing the question about passion. If you have questions, suggestions, or ideas about the topic of passion, you can kindly send me an email, dio@audacitytolead.com. I'll pick it up from there and then I'll answer you. Or if you have any suggestions or ideas, you can leave it for us. You can also leave it for us at audacitytolead.com/question. This is where we end this week's episode. Don't forget to say hi to us on Twitter. My Twitter handle is at @IamDiaSamuel, and yours, Tara?
At @TaraNA.
Success begins
with the audacity to lead. Thank you for listening to this episode of the Audacity to Lead podcast. We believe you've been inspired and greatly challenged to step out and lead with more influence and impact. Till next Tuesday, when we bring you another episode of the podcast. For more resources, visit audacitytolead.com.